Hi, Pastor Colin here from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries, airing right here every week. And I want to tell you about Shepherd of the Hills' brand new app. It's a great way to listen to messages from Light the Way. You can send prayer requests, you can give securely, you can do all kinds of things, and right there from the palm of your hand. Just go to your iTunes App Store and search for Shepherd of the Hills and download the app. It's that easy. You can also go to the church's website, www.soth.church, and download from there. Be sure and subscribe to the update so you can stay informed with upcoming events and activities here at the church. We'd love to connect with you, so download today. But until then, this is Pastor Colin from Shepherd of the Hills, and Light the Way, saying God bless, and remember, be a light for someone this week.
Hello, and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
You remember in John chapter 8, where the Pharisees bring to Jesus this woman caught in adultery, and they say, "Hey, what do you think we should do with her, Jesus? The law says we ought to stone her. What do you say?" Now, they knew they had him, because you see, Jesus had a reputation of being compassionate and forgiving and loving and merciful. And certainly, if he says, "We'll have mercy on her," he's breaking the law, and now they've got him. But if he says, "No, the law says to stone her, go ahead," he loses his reputation for compassion. And so they bring him this impossible situation. They've got it all figured out. They're going to bring this guy down with this single issue. It even says in John chapter 8, they said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. And so they say, "What do we do with this woman?" trying to outsmart him. And Jesus responded, and he said, "Whoever is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone." And they were so baffled, in the very next verse, it said they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. They didn't think he was crazy. They couldn't figure him out. They'd seen crazy people. They knew how to deal with crazy people. They didn't know what to do with Jesus. And so he's not a liar. He's not crazy. There's only one option left. He's exactly who he says he is. He says, "I am." He claims to be God. You know, there was an investigative journalist by the name of Lee Strobel. You might have heard the story, but he was an atheist. He was an unbeliever, and he set out to prove that Christianity was just dead wrong. And so he goes around the world, and he looks at all the evidence. And by the end of the journey, not only has he not proved Christianity was wrong, but he became a believer. He said all the evidence says that he was exactly who he said he was. He wrote a book about it. It's called The Case for Christ. We actually have it in our bookstore. It's our featured book for the month. It's a great story of a person trying to prove Jesus was a liar and finding out he was exactly who he said he is. And the point is this: Jesus isn't just one of many. Christianity isn't just another world religion. You know, there are people who would say it is, that the Christian faith is just another world religion, that it's no different in quality or credibility than any other belief system. They'll say it's not even the oldest, and that it's not the most popular because there's more Muslims than Christians in the world. And yet it isn't just one of many. And for one major reason, Christianity is the only system that says you are saved through a relationship with God, not obedience to religion. It takes religion to a deeper level, and it transforms it into a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. And when Jesus said, "I am," he changed the very nature of one of the most personal things a person will ever decide. He says, if you want to get to God, if you want eternal life, you've got to go through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. And that's because Jesus isn't just one of many. He's not just another teacher. He's just not another influential person. He's not just another religion. He's authentic. He's the real deal. And here's what that means for us. If Jesus is the real deal, then everything else is a waste of time. All of a sudden, Jesus is more important than the Pharisees. They didn't like that. He's more important than the law. They couldn't stand that. He was more important than the Roman emperor. They couldn't deal with that. If Jesus is who he says he is, then he's more important than the Babylonian religion, than the Buddhist religion, than the Islam religion. He's more important than the ancient Persian religion or the Greek religion. These two little words, I am, they take the truth of Jesus all the way back to the beginning of time, where it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen to what Jesus said about himself in John 8. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so if Jesus is the great I am, if he is the creator of heaven and earth, if he comes before everything else in the world, then shouldn't he come before everything else in our lives as well? If he's the real deal, if he really is who he says he is, if he is authentic, shouldn't he be primary in the lives of everyone in his church? Maybe that's why he says in Luke chapter 9, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, a lot of people read that and they think the cross talks about trouble in life, hardships we deal with. It doesn't. It talks about choosing God's will for our life, even when it's not what we would have chosen for our life. And we know that because that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 26, right before he was arrested. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He was talking about the cross. He was talking about his Father's will for his life. He knew what was coming. And he said, if there's any other way to save humanity, let's do that instead. But nevertheless, if the cross is what you want, that's where I'll go. Is that true for us? Is Jesus first in our life? Does he come before our checking account and our career and our friends and our plans for the future? You know, James talks a little bit about that. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and make a profit. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and then do this or that. Do we answer that way? Do we put God before everything else we have at our disposal? How many of us would be willing to cancel travel plans at the last minutes if the Lord had other intentions? And I'm not talking about where he gets in the middle and he cancels the flight and he brings the storm. I'm not talking about the situation Jonah dealt with when he said he wouldn't go preach to Nineveh and God sent a storm to almost sink the boat and then he sent the fish to bring him back against his will. I'm not talking about when God intervenes. What about when God says, it's up to you? This is what I want for your life, but I'm going to let you make the decision. I will tell you, in our home, some of the most convincing and convicting words my wife ever says to me is, honey, if you think we should. If you think we should buy that, then we'll buy that. I've told you what I think. If you think it's something we need, then go ahead. Is Jesus first when it's up to us? I will admit in my life, that's not always true. I don't always give God the best. Very often I give him what's left over. How many of us could say the same thing? You know, there was a pastor who wrote a book on that very issue called $3 Worth of God. And a portion of that book goes like this. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a foreigner or pick beats with a migrant worker. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. There's a lot of people in the world looking for $3 worth of God. Just enough to say he's there, but not enough to interrupt life. Just $3 worth of God. And yet, if Jesus is real, if he's right when he says, I am, if we believe that, if we believe that he is God in the flesh, if we believe that he's the creator of heaven and earth, shouldn't he come before everything else in our life? And so Jesus is authentic. He's the real deal. He comes before everything else in history and life. And you know what? He wants an authentic relationship with you. He wants one that's genuine. Not one where he has to force us to turn around and go his direction, but one where we choose it. And so Jesus is authentic. The second thing we see is Jesus is specific. Notice in verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice the emphasis on the word the. It's one verse, and yet he uses the four times. I am the way, the truth, the life, the Father. It's another way of saying there's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. There's no other Father. In Isaiah chapter 35, it says, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. If you're looking for a politically correct place, the Christian church is not it. Because from the very beginning, from the first day, it was exclusive. It excluded any other system of belief that wasn't Jesus. He said, I am the only way that a person will receive eternal life. And you know what? That struck people. Because it was at a time when you could worship whoever you wanted. It was all equally valid. Many people tried to work their way to heaven. The Pharisees taught that very thing. And it rubbed them wrong for Jesus to show up and say, no, I'm the way to the Father. And it still rubs people wrong. That one statement has caused more world problems than almost anything else. It will cause the world to label you as intolerant. It will call you unloving. The world will say that's hate speech. You will be called a racist because of what Jesus said about himself. And you know what? He warned us about that. He predicted that very thing would happen in Matthew 5. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my account, he says. If Jesus had said, I am a way, I'm a truth, I'm a life, you can come to a God through me, that would be okay. The world would love that because that allows for choice, that allows for options. But the moment he says the way, the truth, the life, the Father, the minute he gets specific, the world pushes back. And the world is still pushing back. We live in a time right now where 65% of Americans, according to recent surveys, 2/3 of all people in the U.S. believe truth is naturally relative, that it's up to the individual to determine what truth is and is not. You know who doesn't care and doesn't think truth is relative? Gravity. Everyone will fall. It doesn't care what you think about that. Take all those truth is relative people, put them on top of a building, ask them to jump. I bet you all of a sudden they start thinking differently. You know who else doesn't think truth is relative? The government, especially when you owe them money. April 15th, if you want, and I don't advise you do, but if you want, you could write a letter to the IRS and you could say, well, I know you and your truth say my taxes are due, but you know, my truth says I don't have to pay them. The truth is handcuffs feel the same. It doesn't matter what you believe. Truth is not relative. There was actually a community in Massachusetts. I wish I was making this up. This is a true story. A community in Massachusetts that had become so laxed on their library fines that the individuals in the community, kind of on their own, had all kind of determined they would pay their library fines with Chuck E. Cheese tokens. And so the library started getting all these things in the mail, and the town and the library had to put out a statement saying, I'm sorry, but that doesn't count. There's only one way to pay your fine, and that's with U.S. currency. Oh, and by the way, you now have late fees. There are some things that are just not up for debate. There are some things that are not open for argument. If you jump, you will fall. If you pay your fines in Chuck E. Cheese tokens, you will get fined even more. And Jesus said, if you want to come to God, he is the way. The only way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father any other way. And so Jesus is authentic. Jesus was very specific. And finally, and we'll close with this, Jesus was explicit. In other words, there's no room for misunderstanding. This is very direct. This is very clear. Notice in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Any relationship a person hopes to have with God must be rooted in truth. The truth of who God is. You know, I had a friend with me one time in Ohio, and he told me that he experiences God in the woods. That through the trees and the rabbits and the deer and the woodland creatures and the stream, he experiences God there. I thought he was describing a Disney movie until he said, and that's my church. And I just kind of looked at him and I blinked. I thought he was joking. And then he wasn't. He was very serious. That's how he experiences God, he said, is through the rabbits in the forest. Well, we went hunting one time, and I got a real nice deer that year. It fed us all year long. It was just such a good deer. We were standing over it. We were about to field dress this animal in the woods, and he said, stop. Before you do that, I want to give thanks to the God of the deer. And he did something with his hands, and I don't even know what it was. And he said, I don't know who made you deer, but I just want to give thanks to whoever that is. And I looked at him, and again, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I said, but we do know who made the deer. And he said, oh yeah, who? And I said, God made the deer. And he said, well, where is that written? And it was like he walked right into it. I couldn't help myself. I said, well, let me show you. And I pulled out my phone. And in Genesis 1, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And it says in Genesis 1, verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth. You know, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul talks about that very thing, about not worshiping God based in truth, but based in emotion. He says in Romans 1, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened, he writes. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they had exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And the world is full of people trading the truth of God for a lie. And one of the most common ways we see it happen is a little phrase, two little words, I feel. Well, I just feel. Well, you know, I know you're saying that, but to me, I just kind of feel it should be. I feel this and I feel that. It's become so common, people don't even know they say it anymore. I feel, I think, I believe. And here's what happens when that statement is made. Truth is replaced with emotion. And emotion has been scientifically proven to be one of the most unreliable motivators in the human psyche. You want proof? Think back to your high school days. How many things did we do? How many dumb things did we do because we were in love? Because we wanted to show off for our friends? You know, my brother decided one day in high school that he would jump on top of a car and go car surfing to show off in front of his friends, only he wasn't very good at it, you know, because it's not a sport. And he fell off this car. He ended up with a concussion and in a coma in the hospital for a week. That's what happens when emotion runs our life. How many things did we do in high school that should have either killed us or landed us in jail? All because of emotion. You know, I was reading this past week that one of the causes of multiple personality disorder is a severe trauma in life and not dealing with the emotions in a productive way. And in some cases, what happens is the emotions take over and they form another distinct personality within the person. And it can be so extreme that that then bifurcates again. Some people have 30 different personalities they're walking around with. That's what happens when emotions take over. More commonly, though, what we see is anxiety when emotions take over, uncontrolled worry over stuff in life, stuff that 96% of the time you couldn't even change if you wanted to. And it looks like this. What if? You ever met a chronic what-if-er? Well, what if this? What if that? What if this happens? What if that doesn't happen? There was actually a poem written about that very thing. Last night, while I lay here, some what-ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk the test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if no one likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems well, and then the nighttime what-ifs come in again. Jesus talked about living by emotion. He said, don't do it. He said in Matthew 6, don't be anxious about your life. Don't let emotion control you. Jeremiah 17 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so don't give it governing authority in your life. You know, Paul never said the righteous live by feel. He said in Romans chapter 1, the righteous live by faith. All that to say this, when it comes to our relationship with God, we don't come in emotion. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what a person feels is right or wrong or saving or condemning. We don't rest in the emotions of people. We, as believers, rest in the truth of God. The truth that was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, it says, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And so Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's an old saying that goes, all roads lead to Rome. And it's actually somewhat true. When Rome was paving the world with their road system that was designed to move their army all over the place, they kind of started from Rome and they moved outward. And so wherever you were, if you were on a paved road, good chances were that it would lead you back to Rome if you followed it long enough. Well, I was inviting a friend over to dinner one night and I was trying to give him directions to our house, and he actually quoted that. He said, well, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome. I think I've got a better way because I know the area. I'll go that way. And I said, okay, well, we'll see you for dinner. He called hours later. He was lost. He had no idea what he was doing. He said, I didn't know they'd closed the road. I didn't know there was construction there, and it detoured me, and I just don't know where I am. And I said, well, I could have told you they closed the road. I knew that. But you wanted to go your way. He was 30 minutes lost. It took him half an hour to get to our house. The same goes in life. There's a lot of people who think they know a better way. And they spend their lives trying to get to heaven based on that better way, only to find that not only does it cause more inconvenience in this life, but it doesn't even work. Jesus said here, I am the way. What about you? Are you trying to get to heaven by some other way? Maybe I should ask it in a more practical sense. Are we securing ourselves by some other way? I don't think many people in a church would say, well, I'm trying to earn my way to heaven. But are you securing your life in the world? Is your security wrapped up in the checking account because there's enough there for a rainy day? Is security wrapped up in some educational degree because with that degree, I'll always get a job? Is it wrapped up in a home or a reputation that says, you know what, no matter where I am, I'm employable? Are we trying to get to heaven through some other way? You know, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, I read that and I can't help but think of the rich young ruler and the rich young fool. The man who went to Jesus and said, I want what you have. And Jesus said, well, then give up all your stuff and follow me. And he walked away sorrowful because he had many things. There's a lot of people walking around with their many things. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover seven miracles of Jesus and the seven I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.
Hi, Pastor Colin here from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way Ministries, airing right here every week. And I'd love to invite you to check out Shepherd of the Hills' newest ministry to the community, Chronicles Christian Books, located right here in the church. At Chronicles, you'll find a great selection of Bibles, commentaries, study helps, not to mention books by your favorite Christian authors on marriage and family, men, women, children, finances, and more. In addition, there's movies, music, children's books, and logo gear. And be sure to get your complimentary cup of coffee and soda. At Chronicles, our goal is to get God's Word out to God's people. That's why, with our Amazon guarantee, we've committed to making sure every Bible at Chronicles is less than the same Bible on Amazon. Stop in Monday through Friday from 9 to 4 and Sunday from 8 to 12:30. For more information, you can go to our website, www.soth.church. and click on the Chronicles banner. But until then, this is Pastor Colin from Shepherd of the Hills and Light the Way, saying God bless, and remember, be a light for someone this week.